With the results of a medical study on the effects of prayer, here's Pastor Ed Ray.
The ones prayed for had fewer complications from their surgery, fewer heart attacks and pneumonia, 30% less than the group that had not been prayed for. Is this something from the National Enquirer?
No.
This is from the Journal of the American Medical Association. So doctors believe this verse. Why do we struggle with it?
Zion, all now filled with hands, and in this place gotta dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.
It's been said that the greatest tragedy of this life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Well, hello and welcome to Grow in Grace. If you were with us last time, you may remember we were encouraged from James chapter 5 not only to pray for others, but to pray for ourselves too. You see, we have good reason to do so, because God answers prayer. Beginning with a scientific challenge for us as believers to really and truly believe in prayer, here's Pastor Ed.
The patients didn't know and the doctors didn't know which group this particular patient A they were dealing with. Well, the result was the ones prayed for had fewer complications from their surgery, fewer heart attacks and pneumonia, 30% less than the group that had not been prayed for. Is this something from the National Enquirer?
No.
This is from the Journal of the American Medical Association. So doctors believe this verse. Why do we struggle with it? Call for the elders. Now, it says call for the elders. You can go in that room. That's what we do in there after every service, is we pray for people. Could the elders pray long distance? Of course, God can hear. But there's something that triggers faith when you hear someone who's mature in the Lord praying for you. And these are points of contact of faith. So when you're sick, have someone pray for you who's mature in the Lord. That's what this is saying. The anointing with oil is sometimes a stumbling block for people. We're not showing a lack of faith by using medical techniques. The oil sometimes in that day was used for medicine. But this is talking about something that deals with the supernatural. Anointing a priest, the high priest Aaron was anointed with oil. The kings of Israel were anointed with oil. It's a picture of the Holy Spirit to remind us that it's not the oil. It's God who does the healing. So don't be afraid to do that. Praying over him and anointing. In English, it sounds like it's the same thing, but pray, anointing the person with oil to remind them, but it's the prayer. It's the Lord that does it, right? Verse 15. And that prayer, the prayer of faith, someone who believes, who's praying that they believe that God wants to and will heal, will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, sick here is camino, and it means to get weary, to grow weary. It could be, again, anything, suffering from any kind of a sickness. He will be forgiven, not by the elders, but by God, right? Because only God can forgive sins. Now, I'm emphasizing that because I grew up in a church that believed that the elders, the clergy, had to pray for someone for their sins to be forgiven. No, that's not true. In fact, it's just the opposite. For example, Isaiah 43:25, God speaking, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. That's the good news. God does it. Jesus was being contested by the Pharisees because he had told a man that his sins were forgiven, a paralytic. Why? This is Mark 2:7. Why does the man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? That's their whole point. Only God can forgive sins. But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. And immediately he arose, took his bread. Now, they were confirming a great truth, that only God can forgive sins. So why was Jesus saying, I forgive your sins? Maybe because he was God, which was the whole point, that they would see that he was God the Son. So forgiveness comes from God. 16, how about struggling in backsliding? 16, confess your trespasses, your faults, another translation says, to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. Confess your sins, another translation says. This is not talking about you going to a person so you can get forgiveness from God. This is going to the person that you've offended, that you've done something against. How awkward. Yes, you have to go to them and ask for their forgiveness. And it's connected with this healing. Pray for one another. The two of you have had an argument. You've been friends for 20 years, and you're having difficulty with each other because somebody said something that hurt your feelings, and then you said something back, and you haven't talked for a month. Go to them. But they may not forgive me. They may not, but at least you've tried. It's off of you. And when you confess to her or him, she'll come back, hopefully, and say, you know what, I overreacted, I'm sorry, and pray for one another. Intercession. Stand in the gap. Take up a hedge between God and the person. It requires us to break out of our own selfishness. You see, when we start blowing it, and this is the first step to going off the pathway he's going to talk about, backsliding, we want to isolate ourselves. We want to stay away from other people. And it's a trap that Satan takes us all through. I was reading a little article in the American Animal Hospital periodical. It says that 54% of pet owners in the United States would choose their pet as a companion over another human being if stranded on a desert island. So, I love you, but I'd take my dog, that kind of thing, I guess is what it's saying. James says we don't have that luxury as believers to lock people out of our lives. In fact, God wants to use us to bring other people closer to God. And when we push away, when we stand off, the opposite happens. Now notice it says the effect of fervent prayer. The word is passionate, energetic prayers, enthusiastic prayers. Enthusia, that's an interesting word. It comes from entheos. Be like filled with God, it's saying. Be excited about your prayers. If you need something from God, pray like you believe he's going to give it to you. You'll remember, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Expect him. Anticipate him doing something to touch and answer your prayer. And then he uses an example from the Old Testament that I think is actually kind of an interesting one for all of us. He says, Elijah. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What's he saying? He's saying, don't put Elijah up on a pedestal. He was a normal person like you and me. He failed. He did things he shouldn't have, and he didn't do things that he should have. He was a man just like you, just like me. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain in Israel. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months because there was a king, Ahab, who was out of sorts. And he was involved in occult practices and led all the people of Israel into idol worship. So he prays and God answers his prayer. I came across this great quote from a pastor from the Puritans, way back, 1600s. Thomas Brooks is his name. And he was talking about this passionate prayers, being expectant in your prayers. He called them cold prayers, the opposite. Cold prayers are like arrows without heads, swords without edges, birds without wings. They pierce not, they cut not, they fly not up to heaven. Cold prayers always freeze before they reach heaven. It's not the arithmetic of our prayers, how many there are, nor is it the rhetoric of our prayers, how eloquent they are, nor the geometry of our prayers, how long they are, nor the music of our prayers, how sweet our voice may be, nor the method of our prayers, how orderly we put our prayers together, nor even your theology, how good the doctrine may be. God cares for fervency of spirit. That's what avails much with him. That's what touches him. When you, like a child, pray in expectation, when I ask him and expect him to do something. Well, I don't want to be disappointed, Pastor. If he does something different than what I've asked for, I've later figured out every time that he was just a lot smarter than me. He knew what I needed, not what I wanted, not what I greeted. He gives us what we need. You know this, right? Praying. Indifferent praying by indifferent people yield nothing. That's what he's saying. Has to do with your own expectations.
We want to thank those of you listening to Grow in Grace with Pastor Ed Ray. We'd love to send you a free book as a thank you for letting us know what station you're listening on. The book is How to Pray, the Best of John Wesley on Prayer. John Wesley was known for many things: his preaching, his writing, books and hymns, his compassion for the poor. But underlying all of his amazing achievements was his devotion to prayer. Drawing on Wesley's writings, this book provides a glimpse into his heart of prayer. Whether he's explaining the Lord's Prayer or simply showing the role of prayer in other areas of life, Wesley offers many helpful insights into this most vital of Christian activities. To receive your free book, please send an email to packinghouseradio@aol.com with the station call letters of your station. We'll send this book to you immediately. Thank you so much for helping us to discern where the program is having its greatest impact. The address again is packinghouseradio@aol.com. Be sure to include your station call letters. Once again, here's Pastor Ed.
Some of you know the missionary named Hudson Taylor. He traveled to China in the late 1800s and greatly impacted the nation. China Inland Mission was the organization that he started, and it brought thousands of missionaries to China in the late 1800s, early 1900s. On his way there, there was kind of a famous story that happened to him on the ship he was traveling on, a sailboat, of course, 1890s. And he's traveling between the island of Sumatra and Indonesia. And halfway through it, they ran into dead air. There was no wind whatsoever. And he's down in his room. He heard the urgent knock on his stateroom door. He opened it, and there stood the captain of the ship. "Mr. Taylor," he said, "we have no wind. We are drifting towards an island where the people are heathen and cannibals." Ruh-roh. "What can I do?" asked Taylor. And he said, "I understand, sir, that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind." And Taylor thought for a moment. He said, "All right, Captain, I will, but you must lift the sails first." Captain said, "What? That's ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, my sailors will think I'm crazy." Taylor held his ground, and he wouldn't pray until he lifted the sails, which he did. 45 minutes later, the captain returned and found the missionary still on his knees. "You can stop praying now," said the captain. "We've got more wind than we know what to do with." That's expectation. That's a man who believed. Have you ever put the sails up? before God answered the prayer? That's what he's saying. Are you expecting God to answer your prayers? Verse 18, talking about Elijah still. He had prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. 3.5 years later, he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced the fruit. And he prayed fervently. Now, we don't have time to go through the whole story. It's in 1 Kings chapter 17 when he prayed the first time that it wouldn't rain. 3.5 years later, it hadn't rained. Then God says, it's time. Verse 1 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. God said, you can plan on it. It's going to happen. So he went to Ahab, told him he needed to run because he'd never make it back to the palace because it was going to rain hard. So Ahab left. So what did he do? He goes up onto Mount Carmel, and he gets down on his knees, and he prays. He puts his head between his knees, it said, and he prayed that God would bring rain. He says to his servant after a little bit, go look and see if there's any clouds. And the servant came back and said, nah, it's a blue sky, hot day, going to be 90. So what did he do? Elijah goes back down, puts his head between his knees, and he prays again. After a while, he says to the servant, go and look and see if there's any clouds. Servant comes back, we got nothing, boss. There's nothing happening. It's blue sky everywhere. He goes down again, and he prays again. 7 times he prays. And finally, he sends his servant out. Servant comes back and he says, there's a little tiny cloud just over the horizon, about the size of a man's hand. And he got up. He said, we got to run. A little tiny cloud. We don't have to run. Oh, yeah. There's going to be a lot of water. And so there was. But I'm trying to point out, and I think James is trying to say the same thing, that are we expecting God to do something when we ask? It's like lifting the sail there on that ship that the missionary was on. Are we expecting God to actually do something with the prayers that we bring? So, verse 19, brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back. Well, he's talking about believers. He's talking about people who have given their heart to the Lord, or at least prayed a sinner's prayer, and for a while they were around. And now they've wandered. The Greek word was used for, it was plano, it meant planets. They saw planets in that day, of course, the first century, traveling around because not understanding the heliocentric sun in the middle that we're in, they were thinking that the stars were moving. But the picture is of wandering about aimlessly. So when we begin to go looking in the wrong places, looking for love in the wrong places, as the old country and western song says, we wander out of the path, the course, the way that God has for us. And when you and I see someone like that, that we know, that we care about, we have a responsibility to try and draw them back. That's what this is talking about. And you start on your knees. You start by praying for them. Not talking to other people about them, but praying for them. So if anyone wanders from the truth and someone goes to them and turns them back, and maybe you're here this morning because somebody's done this. Maybe that's why you're sitting here, because somebody took time to talk with you. Verse 20, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way, the wrong way, the wrong course, back into the right one, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. So he ties all this to prayer, that we can be sure that one who brings that person back will save that sinner from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins, another translation says. So your soul is in jeopardy when you've walked away from the Lord. That's what this is saying. And he will cover a multitude of sins. He does that anyway. When I was a brand new believer, a pastor told me this, and I wrote it in the front of my first Bible. He said, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. I wrote that down without really understanding it way back then, but I found this to be true. Get off the path into sin and you'll go a lot further than you wanted to go. Go off the path and then you'll find that sin will keep you there longer than you ever thought you would stay. Well, I'll just do this for the day. Thirdly, sin will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. Wow, isn't that painfully true? Things that we thought we'd just dump and never think about it again. It gets up here and it rattles around for a long time. So, let's go back and look at verse 13 and try to tie it all together. Make sense out of it. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray for himself. Some of you know the name Josh McDowell. We'll end with this. McDowell wrote a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict and several after that, great books. He was studying here in California. He's from the Midwest. And when he was here studying years ago, his father died. His mother had died earlier, but it set off a sequence in his thinking. He became very depressed that he didn't know if his mother had gone to heaven. His father was a believer. He was sure of it. But his mom, although she went to church, she never really said very much. And so he was struggling with that. And finally, he had to walk away from school for a couple of days. And he prayed. And he had read these verses. And he said, Lord, please show me. He said, quote, Lord, somehow give me the answer so I can get back to normal. I've just got to know if my mom was a believer or not. Seemed like an impossible request. But the next day he felt worse. He went down to the pier at Santa Monica, and it looked like it was empty. It was early in the morning, so he walked all the way out to the end of the pier, and he was disappointed when he got there because there was a little old lady in a lawn chair fishing, and she wanted to talk to him, and he didn't want to talk to anybody. But finally, she said, where's your home originally? And he said, Michigan, Union City. Nobody's heard of it. I tell people it's a suburb of Battle Creek, the little old lady says. I had a cousin from there. I know the city. Did you know the McDowell family? He says, I'm Josh McDowell. And she said, I can't believe this. This is wonderful. I'm a cousin to your mother. He says, do you remember anything at all about my mother's spiritual life? And she says, sure. Your mom and I were best friends. As teenagers, we were just girls. A tent revival came to town, and it was the fourth night. We both went forward to accept Jesus Christ. And he, of course, started crying and said, praise God. God answered his prayer years after his mother had died. I don't know what he did. Did he make that old lady come all the way to California? Did she have wings under her little shawl? I don't know. But he answered the prayer. Wouldn't it be fun when we get to heaven to see the things that God has done? Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly beyond what we ask or think. Got to start with asking.
Touching story there as we close. Pastor Ed Ray just finished our study in the book of James, assuring us that God hears our prayers. You can hear it again at thepackinghouse.org. You'll find all of our recently aired programs right there at thepackinghouse.org, as well as an archive of Pastor Ed's messages. We're also on YouTube, and that's a great way to live stream our services or watch recently delivered messages. Search for Packing House Christian Fellowship, and if you prefer to have a CD copy of today's message, just give us a call toll-free, 844-77-GRACE. Again, we're here to serve you at 844-77-GRACE. As we continue to get the word out on stations like this all across the nation, we're looking to our listeners to help. Even a small donation can have a large impact by God's grace, and whatever comes in goes straight into the ministry. When you support Grow in Grace with a gift of any amount today, be sure to request our featured resource. It's a book called Know Why You Believe by Paul Little. Do science and scripture conflict? Are miracles possible? Is the Christian experience real? Why does God allow suffering and evil? Those are just a few of the challenging questions that Paul encountered during his 25 years of speaking and teaching in the university. Questions like these need solid answers, and this wonderful book will help you to get there. Billy Graham described the book as scholarly, articulate, and simple. Again, we're making it available for a gift of any amount. Just give us a call, 844-77-GRACE. That's 844-77-GRACE. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by the Packing House Christian Fellowship in Redlands.
Zion now filled with hands, and in this place God will dwell with man. Sick be healed and the crippled stand, singing hallelujah. My kingdom built with the blood of my Son, selfless sacrifice for everyone. Faith, hope, love, and harmony. I said, let this world know me by your love.